Hockey Wingverse World Building. Bonus content for the fic These Wings That Want the Skies. Written by Feilikan. And read by Opalsong. So I wrote a fic, my very first hockey fic. It's wing fic, because I love the heck out of wing fic, and went down a world-building spiral with some Discord friends and ended up with something really robust. The commenters on the fic were curious about the finer points of the world-building, so here's the AU primer. I figured I'd write this up in an easily linkable location so I could find it again. The basic concept of the universe is this. The Stanley Cup is magic, and that magic bleeds out across all NHL ranks, and the magic makes hockey players grow wings. I didn't want to mess with wing injuries and figuring out how pads and gear would fit over the top of them, so the magic wings can pull in, or magically fold up under the player's skin into, essentially, hammer space. Wing space? The only thing that's left when their wings are in is a patch of fuzzy down between their shoulders. Wings grow in at all different rates, but it's most common for players to start getting pre-down, the fuzzy feathers between their shoulders, in their rookie season. The first stage of wings is called rookie wings, and they're hilariously ugly and fuzzy. Just look up pictures of baby birds and you'll get the idea. They also itch like a motherfucker when they're first growing in, because of the new feathers, and they ache as the bones grow like growing pains. Nobody really knows how the magic works, or what makes the wings grow in faster or slower. But of course, everyone makes assumptions about it. Someone who doesn't have their rookie wings by the middle of their first season might be said not to be a team player, or not committed to their team. Someone who's got pre-down and rookie wings by development camp might be said to be arrogant or high on themselves, assuming a place on the roster that they might not get. Although this pretty much only happens to high draft picks who know they're going straight to the show. There are outliers. Sidney Crosby's wings were half grown at the draft, since everyone and their mother knew he would definitely be a Penguin, and he would definitely be playing. Alexander Ovechkin took an entire season and a half to get his rookie wings. But most players get them between training camp and all-star break of their rookie season. Each team has its own bird that their wings look like. Nobody knows what kind of bird it's going to be until the players actually start playing on NHL ice for the team and start developing wings. Expansion teams, for instance, won't know what kind of bird is going to be their team's wings until it happens. Teams that get renamed after a move to a new location, that take on a new team identity, will have their players molt and grow new plumage. Players that are traded from one team to another will molt and grow in their new team's feathers, though the speed of this process varies, and is also the source of rumor, of course. Here's a list of the teams and their associated birds. The text has links to photo examples. The Anaheim Ducks are the Mallard Duck. Arizona Coyotes are the Roadrunner. Boston Bruins, Raven. Buffalo Sabres, Chicken/Rooster. Note that there are easily a dozen fancy chicken and rooster variations that could also be used. Calgary Flames, Pheasant, Carolina Hurricanes, Seagull, Chicago Blackhawks, Red-Tailed Hawk, Colorado Avalanche, American Kestrel, Columbus Blue Jackets, the Blue Jay, Dallas Stars, Mockingbird, Detroit Red Wings, the Cardinal, Edmonton Oilers, Cormorant, Florida Panthers, the Catbird, Los Angeles Kings, California King Condor. Note, the tops of the wings are solid black. It's on the underside that the distinctive white coverts are seen. Minnesota Wild, Hummingbird, Montreal Canadiens, Canada Goose, Nashville Predators, Killdeer, New Jersey Devils, Starling, New York Islanders, Pigeon. Note, as with chickens, there is a ton of fancy pigeon variation. New York Rangers, Peregrine Falcon, Ottawa Senators, the Woodpecker, Philadelphia Flyers, Oriole, Pittsburgh Penguins, Goldfinch, San Jose Sharks, Albatross, St. Louis Blues, Nightingale, Tampa Bay Lightning, Blue Heron, Toronto Maple Leafs, the Bluebird, Vancouver Canucks, the Loon, Vegas Golden Knights, Flamingo, Washington Capitals, the Bald Eagle, and the Winnipeg Jets, Swift. Some of the birds are for local reasons, some are for amusingly punny reasons, some are for plumage reasons, and some are for obscure reasons that probably only make sense to the author. Like the Blues being nightingales because of the musical connection. Aside from the regular plumage, there are a few things that can change player plumage different colors. Olympics, Worlds, and the Stanley Cup. Medaling at the Olympics will change the player's primary feathers to the color of their medal. Players with more than one medal may have different striping or banding or different colored tips. Medaling at Worlds does the same, except for the secondary feathers. Winning the Stanley Cup will make the scapular feathers, the longish feathers just next to the spine, into cup silvers. Players in the Triple Gold Club obviously have some pretty stunning wings. International tournaments. Playing in an international tournament will cause players to grow covert feathers in their national team colors. They usually clash amusingly with the player's regular plumage and are an excellent source of chirping. These usually molt out by the time the regular season starts. Captain's Stripe. Gaining the C will cause a player to grow covert feathers in their team colors. Sometimes it's on the tops of the wings, sometimes it's on the underside, sometimes it's both. Feathers do what they want. Getting an A might cause a player to grow a handful of team feathers, but not as extensive as the captain. This also means that poor Jamie Benn looks like a dang Christmas garland when he plays for Canada, between the Stars colors and the Team Canada colors. And then there's Flower, who is incredibly smug about growing Vegas Golden Knight coverts, even if the league won't let him actually wear the C. Goalies and Bowers. They don't have different color plumage, but their wingspans are amazingly fuck-off huge, even compared to other players with big wingspans. The Magic takes make yourself big extremely literally. This can look mildly comical for teams like the Sabres or the Flames, because goalie wings are so huge, it's not typically comfortable for them to bring their wings out in the dressing room or the showers, like most other players tend to. Goalies also get hit harder with nesting instincts than any other players. To accommodate this, organizations set up a bower somewhere in the depths of their home arena, where the goalies make a nest, typically using an old net as the foundation. They'll decorate this nest with their own shed feathers and those of teammates, worn-out player jerseys, broken sticks, and other memorabilia. Goalies take their nests with them when they leave a team for another team, which can be a huge production if the goalie has stayed with one team for any length of time. They tend to get fussy and territorial over their bower, and it's a bit of a sacred space, considered bad luck to see if you weren't specifically invited. When players are traded, typically they lose all of their old team's feathers, but depending on how connected they were with their old team, they might retain a handful. Also, the wings will very gradually shift their bone structure, which aches and itches. Since molting and growing new plumage takes time, it's often said of rentals that nobody expects them to grow feathers for us, meaning everyone gets it if someone acquired at the deadline right before they're going to free agency might not grow any of their new team's feathers at all before the season is done. If they sign an extension, though, they'd be expected to. Then there are players like Jaromir Jagr, who nobody can tell what the hell bird he's supposed to be anymore, because he carries plumage from every team he's ever played with, and his wings are a kind of ambiguous bird shape. In situations where a player feels neglected by team management, like they don't fit with the team or have made it clear they want out, their wings can start to molt before they're traded, ending up looking patchy and sad. This can also happen if a player is traded unexpectedly and feels rejected by their old team, where their old feathers might molt out in big patches without the new feathers growing in. This is, of course, an excellent opportunity for hurt comfort through preening. Speaking of preening, like any good wing fic, half the point of the wings is that they're erogenous zones. But there's a scale of intimacy based on which feathers are being touched. Flight feathers, the primaries and secondaries, the long stiff ones, being touched feels kind of like a light massage. It is a-okay to ask a bro to help preen flight feathers. Nothing terribly intimate about it. No homoeroticism here. No siree. The covert feathers, the next layer of feathers up right above the flight feathers, is a little more sensitive, like getting a scalp massage or having someone else wash or brush your hair. It's intimate, but it can technically be non-sexual and can be passed off as bros being bros. Get into the down feathers and the scapulars, though, and that's a one-way ticket to Boner Town and no longer in the realm of plausible deniability. Journeyman players that play in many different teams across their careers end up with an eclectic collection of feathers that defies classification, much like Jagr. Then there are bubble players, where it can get a little depressing. Some of them do spend enough time in an NHL locker room and on NHL ice to develop wings, and then it's a bit of a melancholy thing when sent back down. Same with players who will come play for half a season, maybe two in the NHL, before returning to their European home league. Depending on how the player felt about their time in the NHL, whether there's any bitterness for never making it fully, or whether they're content with where they are, the wings might eventually molt entirely and disappear. There's also a fun phenomenon that players on national teams have a love-hate relationship with, where the magic can bleed out into the locker room and players who've never touched NHL ice can get the down itch for the duration of the tournament, sometimes even sprouting pre-down feathers. Since the cup is the source of the magic, nobody can keep their wings stowed when they hoist the cup. Therefore, right after the handshake line and before they bring the cup out onto the ice, the winning team will strip out of their jerseys and pads so that when they lift the cup, they don't hurt their wings. Rookie players or call-ups that maybe didn't have their wings or didn't have mature wings will immediately have fully grown mature wings upon lifting the cup. This tradition has carried over into international play, and winged players will accept their medals shirtless and with their wings out. Teams also love to take promotional pics of players with their wings out, because they're cool and fans love them. A few teams have even ordered and designed special gear / promo jerseys that will fit on over the wings so players can dress in their gear and go out on the ice for some media shots. The goalies always look so dramatic and cool in these because the media people like to get shots of them in the net with their fuck-off huge wings spread, and you can't even see the goal behind them. Shed feathers hold the same kind of collector's fascination as sticks for fellow players. Most players will keep a few of their own shed flight feathers, primaries and secondaries, to trade. And the organization might also ask for shed player feathers to sell, similar to how an organization will sell game-worn jerseys or game-used sticks. Flight feathers are the only ones made available to fans, as most players feel that the coverts are too intimate to give to random strangers. Exceptions might be made for shed national team feathers, but they will usually command a very high price due to rarity. Players trading feathers among each other is much more common, especially at big league events like the All-Star Game, Media Day, NHL Awards, or things of that nature. Offering a covert feather is a hookup code. Down feathers, because they are so small, fragile, and intimate, are never offered in trade. The author is sure that there's more stuff that they thought up or that they talked about and forgot, and is happy to yammer forever about in the comments on the text work. But in conclusion, wings! The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!